you're with us for the morning show as we talk about private well testing in several southwestern Wisconsin counties, Grant, Iowa, and Lafayette. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Scientists have completed their fourth and final round of private well sampling to identify sources of contamination. The study that goes by the acronym SWIG started 2 years ago. Do you live in these counties? Was your well tested? Is it contaminated? Join in at 800-642-1234. Danielle Kading is a WPR reporter based in Superior, and she's been reporting on this final round of private well testing research. Danny, welcome back.
Hey, Kate. Thanks for having me on.
So as researchers have completed this fourth and final round of private well sampling, what have they found?
Well, they found that altogether, by sampling these wells that were previously flagged for contamination, I just want to point that out, these were wells that were known to have issues. They found that across these four rounds of sampling that 76% had fecal contamination from humans or livestock.
Okay, so they're finding consistently on round after round of sampling that there is this contamination. What is going on? How is this fecal contamination happening?
Well, I mean, if it's from humans or livestock, obviously those are the sources, but they don't really have a good idea yet how it's getting into those wells. I mean, we can make some assumptions, but they're going to be looking at risk factors for well contamination coming up. You know, in the beginning of this study, they looked at more than 800 wells and sampled them, and they found excess levels of coliform bacteria, which is an indicator of fecal matter that may be harmful, or bacteria being present that may be harmful. And they also had excess levels of nitrate. So for these 76% of wells that were previously flagged to have this, it's not really unexpected because we knew that they were already contaminated. But it's a little bit different because you might have thought that all of the wells would have had fecal contamination, but that's not the case. You know, most of them do from these four sampling rounds, but the others may have just had high nitrate levels, or the conditions may have changed in the meantime.
Why does a sampling have to occur over years? I mean, why couldn't you do one-stop-shop sampling and be able to get some results? Why did they have to go back again and again?
Well, I think the idea is that they wanted to do this over time at different times of year because they wanted to catch these wells at different times and at different conditions. You know, for example, in the springtime, we see typically wetter conditions, and that's when we see some spreading, manure spreading, because they can't spread during the winter or it's limited. And so, you know, the idea is that maybe there are times of the year where there's more risk for contamination. But during these sampling rounds, they really didn't have the kind of wet conditions that we've seen in Wisconsin in recent years. So they weren't able to get a good idea of whether or not that played a role.
Can you rewind for us all the way back to the beginning and explain how this study started? What led researchers to even begin testing these wells in these three counties?
Yeah, so Iowa Grant in Lafayette counties funded this study, which you said is called SWIG, a couple of years ago because of growing concerns about groundwater contamination across the state. You know, we've seen areas in northeastern Wisconsin that have had issues with nitrate contamination, particularly Kewaunee County. And there's been similar research there to look at contamination and the sources of contamination and what factors can increase that risk. And, you know, the research that was done there led the state to take some policy changes. They, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, enacted some manure spreading restrictions across 15 counties in northeastern Wisconsin that were found to be susceptible to this type of contamination because of manure runoff and in this area where they have fractured bedrock, which means that it's more likely to get into the groundwater supply there.
Oh, so the topography of the land itself could perhaps be causing this leaching of contaminants?
Yeah, I mean, there's certain factors with the geology that could put some places in Wisconsin more at risk than others, because, you know, in northeastern Wisconsin and in southwestern Wisconsin, there are areas where we see what are called karst features that can lead to sinkholes. And so, you know, it just makes these areas more vulnerable to whatever is happening on the land getting into the water supply.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Danielle Kading. She is a WPR reporter, and she's been following the results of private well water testing in southwestern Wisconsin, a study now that's been going on 2 years. It's called SWIG. That's its acronym. You can join in. Do you live in Grant, Iowa, or Lafayette counties? Have you been following the developments in the water study? What questions do you have about the findings? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Danny, the DNR says private wells need to be tested annually. Do we know anything about the wells that the researchers, a scientist, studied in this particular study as to how often these wells were being tested?
I don't. but, you know, they do recommend that testing, and it's not required. Only public water supplies are required to test wells for the presence of contaminants. You know, private well owners are responsible for maintaining their own water supplies. So, and, you know, it's really up to them if they want to know what's happening with their water. And that can be that can be tough. You know, sometimes it might be an issue of cost for them. If they're, you know, like say they find out that they have nitrate contamination or they have high levels of fecal bacteria, you know, then they would have to look at some sort of treatment or maybe even bottled water. And, you know, that's an extra cost for these homeowners or drilling a new well. There's a lot of things that might prevent people from taking those steps.
Has there been any public health efforts in Grant, Iowa, and Lafayette counties to help these landowners, homeowners understand, you know, just the health risks of this type of contamination? Do you know any efforts there?
Well, I think that this study is really what they see as an education effort to get residents more aware of the fact that, you know, these types of contaminants might be present in their private wells. And so by doing this study, I think they're hoping that people will be more aware of the issues that they might confront and take those steps to test and be proactive about, you know, ensuring whether or not they have safe drinking water.
Do we know what the SWIG researchers, the scientists, will do with the results from this latest round of testing?
Well, so the researchers are sharing this information with all the landowners who take part and with the counties that are involved. And then those counties hope to use this information to kind of guide any decisions that they might make at the local level. And it really depends on, you know, this final stage of the study that's going to kick off here, where they're looking at different factors that could increase the risk of contamination.
What might those factors be that could increase the risk of contaminants getting into these private water wells?
Yeah, so some of the risks involved could be, you know, where these wells are located and how close they are to farm fields. You know, that was something that they found in northeastern Wisconsin, that the proximity of these wells to farm fields increased the risk for contamination there. It might be the number and concentration of septic systems near wells. It could be the age or the depth of a well. So all of those can be factors that could possibly increase the risk of contamination.
Can counties or municipalities in any way mandate inspection or testing of private wells? Has that been tried anywhere?
I really don't know the answer to that question, Kate.
Yeah. So as you look at this study, do you find that the scientists are making progress from one round of sampling to the next? Is their data consistent?
I'm sorry. What do you mean by that, I guess?
Is the trends of the contamination from each round of testing, is that consistent from one round to the next? Does that bear out in the data?
Yes, because these four rounds of sampling, again, were from previously flagged wells. These are wells that in this first phase of the study that they tested and found that they had excess levels of either nitrate that were unsafe, or they had excess levels of coliform bacteria that, again, are this indicator that other harmful fecal bacteria might be present.
Let's take a call now. Roberta is joining us from Iowa County. Hi, Roberta.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi, I live in Iowa. Iowa County. I want to know, how do I get my well water tested for these contaminants? And I'll take my answer off the phone.
Thank you, Roberta. Yes, Danny, go ahead.
Yeah, I would recommend getting in touch with the county or with the Wisconsin DNR. I'm sure that they would have all the information that you would need. So, if you're in Iowa County, I would contact the Iowa County Conservationist. I'm sure she could direct you to that information of how to get your well sampled or tested.
WPR reporter Danielle Kading is our guide to the SWIG scientists who have analyzed samples from private wells in southwestern Wisconsin. Are you living in an area of the state that has had issues accessing clean water? What questions do you have about sources of contamination? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Danny Kading here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with WPR reporter Danielle Kading. She's been covering the outcome of the SWIG study as scientists sample dozens of private wells in several southwestern Wisconsin counties looking for contaminants from people, contaminants from cattle, swine in the water. The study's final report is expected. It's due out next year. So, Danny, zoom out for us, if you will. How many Wisconsin residents have private wells that they use to get their water, their cooking, their cleaning, drinking?
Right. Okay. So about 4 million or so Wisconsin residents get their water from public water supplies. But according to the Wisconsin DNR, around 30% of Wisconsin residents get their water from private wells.
And in the area that was tested in southwestern Wisconsin, how prevalent are these private water wells?
About 44% of residents in these three counties get their water from private wells.
Okay. So when you look at the study of these wells that's been going on now for a couple of years, how has it been affected by the coronavirus pandemic?
Oh, yeah. So the final round of sampling and the release of those, that was delayed a bit by the pandemic because of lab work. Right now, Mark Borkhart, who's the USDA microbiologist that's working on the study, he said that they only are allowed to have one person in the lab right now. And so that kind of just slows everything down as they're trying to analyze their findings.
We got a call from Tom, called in to share that Tom lives in a small southwestern Wisconsin town, and Tom gets yearly results of private well testing, but results seem to be behind a few years. Tom says, how accurate is well testing across the state? How is it handled differently in different regions?
Oh, I wish I could answer that question. I really just don't have a good answer to that.
Yeah. So there could be, though, a lag in data when it comes to well testing. And certainly, as the scientists here have done, this has been years, the SWIG study. It's not something that you can just pop in and pop out and get results.
Well, I mean, this testing, this final round that came out, you know, these were samples that were taken from previously collected samples. So these samples were selected in March, but yes, they were selected from previous rounds of testing. So, you know, conditions, like I said before, may have changed during that time. You know, if things get wet or if things get dry, or if the land use changes in the area or anything else that might play a role in the contamination of these wells.
Danny, what will improvements look like for Wisconsin residents who have private wells that are contaminated with fecal matter? I mean, how do you take steps to mitigate that?
Well, I mean, I guess the improvements, though, really depend on what the researchers find, because, I mean, I wouldn't want to say to somebody right now that, you know, if you're afraid that you have contamination, go and drill a deeper well. We don't know that that would fix the issue. So, I mean, the solution really depends on the outcome of the study's findings, where they're looking at those risk factors. You know, I mean, if proximity to farm fields plays a role, then, you know, it might take regulation by either the state or at the local level to try and prevent contamination of the water supply from farm fields, just like what happened in northeastern Wisconsin. So I don't know that there's like a specific answer that I could give right now about what the solution would be.
What of the residents whose wells were found to be contaminated, what have they been told to do?
I actually am not sure. Like when I talked to Iowa County, for example, one of the questions that I had was if people who had found this contamination were now treating or taking some other sorts of steps. And I was told that some are trying to disinfect their wells, but I don't know that that's something that is being followed up on.
Well, Dave from Spooner called in, couldn't stay with us. And Dave is wondering if there's a statewide approach to these water well challenges between Kewaunee, Milwaukee, and southwestern Wisconsin. Dave says there is a lot going on. And Dave is also wondering how the geology and soil of a region can help or hurt water quality and contamination in these wells.
Okay. Well, I'll start with the statewide approach, because, you know, because the geology is so different in every part of the state, a one size fits all kind of solution, I don't think is going to work for the state based on what we know. But there are efforts at the state level to look at, you know, site-specific standards to control nitrate contamination. That's something that went before the Natural Resources Board in the last year. And so that's something that's being examined. The geology across the state, like, for example, northeastern and southwestern Wisconsin share some of the similar characteristics because they have the same type of rock, this dolomite rock. But they have other types of geologic formations too, including sandstone and shale units. But all of these have the potential, they all have fractures in them. So that makes them, these areas, more susceptible to this contamination. In other areas of the state, that might not be the case.
We're talking with Danielle Kading, who is a WPR reporter based in Superior, and she's been following the results, the latest round of private well water testing in southwestern Wisconsin. Still time to talk about it. How would you like to see policymakers address these private well water issues? Have you noticed any changes in your own water since the pandemic started or before? And if you live in Grant, Iowa, or Lafayette counties, have you been following the developments in this SWIG water study? Join in at 800-642-1234. Danny, how specifically are lawmakers in the state responding to these problems with private wells?
Well, so the contamination, the first part of the study that showed 42% of, I think it was, is it 300 or so wells? Mm-hmm. That prompted the Assembly Speaker Robin Voss to create a water quality task force last year. And so a bipartisan group of lawmakers went across the state holding meetings, trying to get information from people. And then those meetings ended up producing a package of more than a dozen bills that sought to address some of these water quality concerns all across the state. Those bills were approved by the assembly earlier this year, or most of them were, but they were not taken up by the state Senate. And so they died in the legislature.
And so basically at now, those lawmakers are dead until maybe they would be revived in the next session.
Yeah. And both Democrats and Republicans who were on that task force are hopeful and expect that those bills would be reintroduced in the next legislative session.
So what is the timeline here for the final report and conclusion of the SWIG study?
Well, researchers are going to be, again, looking at those risk factors for well contamination right now and, collecting information on well construction reports and the number of septic systems in the area and all of that information I mentioned before. And so they're going to be going through that and compiling information, and then they hope to issue their findings sometime next year.
Will it contain recommendations on what to do next?
I don't think that the researchers would say that it's their job to recommend policy. I think what they would say is, we're giving you this information that tells you where the risks are. It's up to policymakers and the counties to decide whether or not they want to use that to take steps to manage the problem.
Danny, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Kate.
Danielle Kading is a Wisconsin Public Radio based radio reporter based in Superior. Just ahead, we talk about the struggles that parents are facing as they try to help their child stay on track with virtual learning. Is your child learning from home? How is it going? How are you doing in helping to assist your child in these virtual studies? It's 800-642-1234 to join in. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.